Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW. And Sitka joining me in the studio this morning and driving me crazy with his cup of coffee is Ross Perlin, one of the Sitka fellows this year. Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Robert.
It smells good. And you're kind of wiping the sleep out of your eyes. Kind of a busy weekend for you. You were one of the TEDx speakers.
I was. It was quite an eventful day. I was lucky to go with my presentation relatively early on, so that I could just sit back and enjoy all the other ideas that were out there.
Yeah, I came later. I came to the session that started at 5. What did you talk about?
I spoke about what I'm actually working on here in Sitka for the next 6 weeks or so as one of the inaugural 8 Sitka fellows. It's the beginnings of a book. The sort of core chapters of a book about the new geography of hardship in the United States, project I'm tentatively entitling The Third World Next Door. So looking at regions of deep-seated poverty, but also of emergent poverty, and not just poverty, also, environmental depredation and, of housing issues, education issues, areas where here in the United States we're now demonstrably reaching third world levels in certain respects, just as the traditional third world has been progressing a great deal over the last couple of decades through their economic development policies. And so through that kind of analysis and that kind of almost mapping of these issues across the country, sometimes at a very granular level, going down to census tracts, going down block by block if possible, which, too seldom is done, to begin to rethink in the 21st century how we should tackle some of these social problems.
Granular, block by block, census tracking. Is this the kind of thing that you're learning about through statistical analysis, or is this something where you actually have to get in a car or get on a bus or a bike and go learn about?
We do have amazing sort of statistical information out there in this country, and there is an amazing amount of data that I think is actually underutilized right now that's in the public domain, that's out there, and that, to my mind, can sort of tell you where to start, can give you a sense of the situation, but then from there, for me, and for me as a writer, as a reporter, not a statistician, not that kind of social scientist by training, it's then about going and talking to people and being on the ground. And I've already done some amount of traveling connection with this, but there's a lot more to come. And what I'm ultimately envisioning is a kind of political travel log. So it'll have the feeling almost of travel writing, but with a kind of urgency and, not just a jaunt, not just a kind of, not just travel for travel's sake, but, travel in search of these stories, talking to people, seeing what people's lives are like. So to me, the quantitative leads you into the qualitative. And the statistics can sort of tell you where to go. They begin to tell you a story. And then as a reporter, my job is to kind of complete it and make it real and flesh it out.
I don't want to go off on a big tangent here, but listening to you talk reminds me of a time I got invited out onto a cruise ship. Local media got invited out there with local officials. First time I'd ever been on a cruise ship. It was a Pacific Princess. It was the Love Boat. And it was all these... We're in this huge dining room with all these purple tapestries and everything, and I was looking out at Sitka, which is kind of Sitka's a nice town, but it's sort of a mixture of, we have mobile homes and trailer parks on our waterfront and classic tar paper siding. I have a lot on my own house of, just kind of unfinished work in progress, and I thought Sitka, through those purple drapes and with, underneath those chandeliers, Sitka had a kind of third world characteristics.
I think that in some, it's a great story about how your eyes can really, your eyes can tell you a story that doesn't necessarily add up to what people are actually feeling in a community. And that's an important reason to spend time talking to people, understanding kind of how people see it from the inside. And I think we've been trained to kind of see poverty, to see hardship in certain ways, whether it's tar paper siding or vinyl siding on buildings or trailer parks. For a lot of people, they like living in a mobile home, and a mobile home makes sense for them, and you know, is the right solution. So to some extent, yeah, this project is also about kind of changing our way of seeing. I think it's not enough to be sort of riding through a car, riding along in a car at 50 miles an hour and looking out the window and saying, oh, that's a blighted area, that's third world over there. What you have to do is, you get the background information, you gather, the statistics and other information that's available, you talk to people, you spend time with people, and then, from that a picture will emerge of what hardship actually really looks like. So that visceral thing, of course, it can be spot on, but it can also be wide of the mark.
Interesting. Ross, you're from Brooklyn?
I grew up in New York City in Manhattan, currently live in Brooklyn.
Okay. And this project, looking at the geography of hardship in America, is something that you're working on as part of your Sitka fellowship. But I gather that you haven't had a lot of opportunity to work on this yet. What are we in, week one or week two of the Sitka Fellows?
We're at the beginning of week two.
Week two.
It's been a bit of a whirlwind. I've met maybe not half the people in town, but I've met a number of Sitkins already, which is great. And we've just had a lot of kind of inaugural activities. We went out to Samsung Cove for a couple of days, just kind of the fellows to get to know each other, to spend some time in the woods. And then there was the Island Institute roundtable happening on the Sheldon Jackson campus last week, and then the TEDx events, and just a number of really generous opportunities to kind of to get to know people here in the community and other people who are on that campus working. So I think it's fair to say that sort of the beginning of week two now is kind of where the rubber meets the road, and we're getting into our work schedules and starting to put our nose to the grindstones.
Yeah. Radio appearances.
And radio appearances. Wow, this is
this is the
after
hard
this,
work.
Yeah.
What interested you in the Sitka Fellows program? This is the first year it's been done. I guess there's 8 fellows, 7 weeks, everyone's under 30, and you're the self-described graybeard of the group at 29. What is the appeal of the program? How did you hear about it?
I heard about it through a friend who is connected to one of the organizers. So the word was kind of spreading through through people's friends and contacts. And first and foremost, the place, the opportunity to come to Sitka. As a writer, I know about various kinds of residencies that exist all over the country, fellowships. These are basically opportunities to get away from the daily grind of the work you're doing. For me, it was churning out articles for a variety of publications. That's to pay the bills. That's also just part of the work. But to get some dedicated time, kind of away from your usual context and the daily day-to-day work you're doing, to sort of make big steps on a longer term, larger scale project. I think that's something that unites all of us who are here in this program, and that is common to most residencies and fellowships. It's giving people the time and space to just kind of think big and begin to make progress on these big projects. So this friend of mine knew that I was looking for that kind of opportunity. And there were things closer to home in upstate New York or in New England or in the Midwest or in the South. And it just struck me that this was something in Alaska, first of all. And then I kind of looked into Sitka and began to understand something just from afar of the Southeast as this, very unique kind of set of communities. And so the opportunity to be in a place like this that would give me a different sense of the United States, that would both give me a kind of perch from which to look at the lower 48, which is where, most of my focus of my research will be, certainly. To be within America and yet to be, in a sense, a little bit outside at the same time as well.
Yeah, you're in America. We accept greenbacks.
No, I understand. I went to the post office the other day and, was pleased to see that I could.
It's kind of an old joke among in the cruise ship industry people. are not quite sure where they are up here. They've come a long way from home. Ross, we're just about out of time, but I didn't want to let you go without mentioning the fact that you already are a published author. I mean, the Sitka Fellows program, there's a range of people involved, and you are in this group somebody who's already, you know, well underway as far as your career goes, but you've published a book called Intern Nation: How to Earn Nothing and Learn Little in the Brave New Economy, and you've been published in the New York Times, the Washington Post, and the Guardian. And I'm happy to report to people listening that we had a little conversation before we went on the air that not all internships are bad.
That's right. Absolutely. I'm not an intern abolitionist by any means. The book I wrote, which first came out last year and this year is out in paperback and an ebook, was meant to and did kind of stimulate a national conversation just about, you know, the way that we train young people, the way we transition from the classroom into the workplace. And internships have really become, you know, this sort of key gateway, a virtual prerequisite to get into the white-collar world, which is increasingly where people kind of need to be for high-level jobs and jobs that pay well. But there are excesses in that system, and you know, I think there are some aspects of internships we need to question, particularly you know, they're being unpaid and lacking certain legal protections. But there are places that are doing it well and that can serve as models.
All right, I found it on Amazon. I imagine anybody else could too. Probably go into Old Harbor and ask them about it too. But it was just interesting to see that you've already got an interesting publication out there already, and not necessarily rooted in your own internship experience, but kind of a more global perspective of the whole phenomenon. Ross Perlin is from Brooklyn. He is a linguist and a writer and a Stanford grad.
That's right.
And he's going to be here in Sitka for another 6 weeks as part of the Sitka Fellows Program. And we can't pinpoint it today, but I imagine at some point closer to the end of the Fellows Program, there'll be an opportunity for people to come out and meet you and maybe listen again to what you're working on.
I hope so. I look forward to it.
Thanks a lot, Ross,
Thanks,
for
Robin.
Coming in this morning.